Well, what a glorious day we have here. Another chance to come here together and praise God and worship together and learn His Word. Thank you, God, for everything in our lives. The good, the bad, the things that teach us the perseverance that we need to walk forward every day in this world and praise You. Please bring to me the ability to share Your message with these people. It's not me that does that. That's You. And I praise You for even giving me the chance to stand here in front of this wonderful congregation of people and speak Your name. Amen. So, recently I've been trying to figure out how I express the golden rule to my boys. I have a tendency to look at my life in the Scripture and God through the lens of a father. Because, I mean, that's where I'm at in my life right now. And this idea that we should treat each other as we wish to be treated seems really simple on its face. And I think it's really much more complex than I've ever taken the time to look at. And so I started asking myself, where do we see this idea in the Word, right? And Jesus very much, when He's asked what the most important laws of the Torah are, He says it's to love God your Father with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But it's spelled out less implicitly across the board in all of His laws. All of them point at this idea that we should treat each other with respect and kindness, because we're all treasures. He loves us. We have an intrinsic value to Him as that which He has created in His image, that are meant to work in unison with Him to accomplish great things and to bring forth love and kindness and compassion and steadfast honesty in the face of all of the difficulties that we face in our lives. The things that would take us and make us bitter or angry or sad. Which then my mind wanders off and goes, what's a treasure? What is treasure? We have this beautiful song and it sings that we don't long after gold and silver. But we should long after Him. We should long after His Word. It should compel us. We should be fixated on it and fascinated with it. Like when I've been having some fun looking at how gems are cut. And it's actually quite amazing. How you take something created by God, this little rock. A sapphire is a wonderful example of this. When you pull a sapphire off the ground, out of some gravel, out of something, it's this weird, doesn't really have much color to it. Doesn't seem to be the thing that should be valuable to the rest of the world. But if you take that and you forge it and you give heat to that, a brilliance comes out of that stone that is absolutely beautiful. But even then, it takes the hand of a person with care to carve away these little bits and create these facets so that as light comes into it, into this creation, it refracts and bounces and comes back out. And the manner and perspective at which you view that cut piece just explodes with light and brilliance. And I think this book is just like that stone. I didn't create these words, nor did any person. These are the words of God, and it's a treasure to us. And when we are able to stop and look at some of these words in here like a treasure, and we start looking at it from its different perspectives, as light bounces through this and through us, and it hits and it refracts and it comes back out 15 different ways than when it went in. And so I began to try and look at how many facets I could find. Right? And I came across, I've talked about Hebrews, the book of Hebrews before, and this idea of faith. But before the author of Hebrews gets into doing that, he makes a couple of amazing, astonishing statements. One of which is that Jesus is like a better Moses, meant to share and guide his flock and bring the word of God to them. And he is God, unlike Moses. Moses failed and stumbled at every turn. And this, Jesus is so much more. He does all of the things that should have been done. And he fulfills those. And I didn't want to just base that idea off of this one short passage in Hebrews, but I wanted to see where else that was reflected. Where else did that light refract and bounce? Who else saw that? And so I began looking around and trying to figure out where else I saw this. In the book of Matthew, he spells out something without directly saying it. And it's that same idea. It opens with the story of a king who's taking the lives of Hebrew boys. Then Jesus, the first time we really see him in this, in the book of Matthew, he passes through the water of the Jordan and is baptized. He then goes forward, and what happens is the Spirit leads him into the wilderness for 40 days. And eventually he comes to this point where he stands on a mountain and he shares the law and the word to his people. In Matthew 5:17, he says he is the fulfillment of the law. He's not doing away with the Old Testament. He's not saying this gospel is the new and that should be ignored. I want to see God and to see Jesus through that lens. I want to see how he's the fulfillment of that. When I look at him and he says, don't murder. That seems like a simple law. Don't murder. I think we all get by most days without murdering people. Yeah? But that's just adhering to the law. That's not fulfilling it. As he takes this treasure, that law, and he turns it into something, he facets it and he cuts it and he says it's more than that. It's me dying on the cross at the hands of persecution and praying for them to love someone. Is the fulfillment of that law to not murder. It is in its entirety. So, I've recently in my life started to want. I want to see how Jesus read that. Then, if that shows us that he thought. If he felt that the Old Testament, if he is the fulfillment of all of it, and it's one story, right? We're not supposed to do away with these old lessons because we don't think they apply. They're not quite the same as this gospel story of the life of Jesus. He sees these strings of idea and imagery and beauty and poetry, and he sees these strings, and I see these strings sometimes when we look at water and the temple. And the desert and all of these ideas that bring us, they literally bring us to these things. And so I started questioning, where do all those strings go? Where do they go? Do they just go from one end to the other and drop off? And I realized the answer to that is no. All of those strings, if I start pulling on them, they're all attached to the cross. They're attached to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us to save us, to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves because of our broken nature. And if that's not treasure, if that's not something beautiful, if that's not something multifaceted, I don't know what is. So maybe sometimes we need to stop and look at not just the Scripture, but our friends and our family and the world from a new perspective. We need to stop being stubborn in our ways, in that how we treat another person when we're annoyed by someone on the side of the road or someone cuts us off in traffic. Maybe we should stop being annoyed at that person. Maybe we should allow the brilliance of God's Word to refract and move and turn little bits of light into grace. Grace that we can see and that we can share and that can open up a new world of possibilities for us as the people of God. I think those ideas are powerful and amazing. And I think if we just took the time to look at that sometimes, we would walk into this world in a completely different way. And we would hold up this treasure and we would show it to every single person we could. Because the beautiful brilliance of this treasure is unlike any silver or gold or sapphires or diamonds that we could possibly find. God is good, and He is love, and He is compassion. You see this story of the rich man coming to Jesus. He says, how do I be good? How can I be good? And Jesus is like, there's no one good other than my Father. We can try, we can follow his recommendation to him is that he look at the law, that he look at that treasure, and he watches the light, the grace of God bounce around within that, and allow it to change him, to bring him to a place where he can see who he is from a different perspective. Unfortunately, that man, when called to leave everything behind and follow him, hung his head. But we don't have to. We can leave behind the parts of ourselves that are broken and cloudy and ruin the treasure we can be. The treasure that God values. I don't know what the extent of that looks like. I don't know what I look like as a perfectly cut gem that can be held by God and cherished. But I know I'm going to work every day of my life moving towards that. God created me, but it's our hands that are going to cut those angles and the facets and the things that turn us into what He wished us to be. If He didn't want me to do something about that, to just sit by and be a bystander, that He's going to do everything for me without me doing anything at all. I have to walk in a way that allows Him to make the changes in me. And for that, I praise God. I praise God for the ability to have free will. I can't have that free will without love. To force me in a manner to love Him would not be love. It would be coercion. I think we all know that to coerce a person is not love and therefore not of God. Because He is the embodiment of love. He can be nothing else. Thank you guys today for listening to that. I hope that made sense. I struggle with these ideas in here at all times. They scare me. I shake and I tremble as I think about the ideas and the beauty that is in this book, in this treasure, and in the Word of God. Thank you, guys. Tim, would you close us in prayer?
And I thank you for that. I thank you for Matt's heart. I thank you for the words that you have heard from from your word. I thank you for giving us your mercy, your strength, your salvation. Lord, we just honor you with as much glory as we imperfect beings can give. I thank you for this day that it's a day for you. And we're not perfect, Lord, but you know what? You are. And you love us. You loved us enough to send your very best. And for that, I thank you. As we head out into the world today, into the mission field around us, I pray, Father, that people won't see us, but they will see you in us. That imago Dei, the image of God, inside of each of us. And I thank you that you've given that to us. In your name, we ask for complete care and observation and watch over us. Meet our needs, Lord God, and thank you for giving us those needs to begin with. We learn from those things. In Jesus, thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much.
Doors. He parted the raging